we make hijrah? Or when should we make hijrah?
Oh.
In any country of the world where Muslims are in the minority, and as I will explain to you, even when they are in the majority, when it will be permissible for a Muslim to make hijrah? Various opinions can be given. You may have some reasons in your head and say, no, now it is time, we must leave South Africa, or if it worsens, we must leave South Africa. So as a Muslim, what is our criteria? When must we leave? When must we leave the country that we are staying in? And why must we leave? Respected elders, if we look at the corridor of history, then we will find that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he left Firaun and he left Egypt and he went away to Madian, where he worked for Hazrat Shuaib alayhi salam for 10 years, and later married one of the daughters of Hazrat Shuaib alayhi salam. Then he proceeded. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam basically made hijrat from Egypt when there was oppression there, no freedom of practicing of deen and religion. He moved away. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam moved away from the area of Iraq to the area of Sham. Sham, respected elders, remember, has got a huge area. These days it has been divided. But when it was written, the word Sham, in history books, then it referred to Iran, part of Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Israel, Jordan, those areas. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam moved. In the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he requested and he allowed Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in to go away to Abyssinia. Present day name for Abyssinia, Ethiopia. And this migration was twice. And why? Because the Muslims in Makkah al-Mukarramah were harassed, put into difficulties, beaten up for believing in Allah as one, for uplifting Tawheed and Risalat, for practicing upon Islam. The Muslims were unjustly beaten up. So they were allowed to go away to Ethiopia. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed Sahaba Akram to go away after the first pledge of Aqaba, and then after the second pledge of Aqaba, he allowed them to go away to Madinatul Munawwara. Sahaba Akram proceeded to Madinatul Munawwara secretly, quietly. Only Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who announced his departure, his migration to Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eventually he also went away with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Madinatul Munawwara. So there were circumstances prevailing there which caused them to make these various migrations. The migration of Musa alayhi salam, the migration of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the migration of the Ashab Kaf, the sleepers in the cave, of the cave, and the migration of the Sahaba to Ethiopia, the migration of Sahaba to Medina, and the migration of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina. So there is some migration taking place, there are some reasons. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this famous hadith, that innama al-a'malu bin-niyya, that definitely, surely, actions are judged by their intentions. Then hadith goes on to explain, Nabi Akram ﷺ states that if a person migrates for Allah and His Rasul, then he has migrated for Allah and His Rasul. And if he has migrated for wealth or to marry a lady, to marry a woman, then his migration is for that. In the time of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, there was a Sahabi who proposed to a lady, Ummi Qais, and her condition was that she will marry provided the one who proposed to her migrates to her. So one Sahabi migrated to her and married her, and he was called in the books of history Muhajir Ummi Qais, because he migrated towards her and he married her. Now the discussion arises that was his migration bearing reward and sawab, or was it permissible? We have got now discussions in the books that sometimes an action is done and there is an intention. And we'll have to look at the action and we'll have to look at the intention. If the action is good and the intention is good, then there will be good fruits, there will be a reward. If the action is bad but the intention is good, the intention is good, the action is bad, meaning that it is not in conformity to Sharia, then the result is bad. For example, if a person, he decides to innovate in deen, and he becomes a bidati, an innovator, and he says, no, I am doing good. But they say, no, I must listen to music, I must listen to Qawwali, and this listening creates a sense of ecstasy in my heart and I feel good about it. I've got very good intention. So intention, as far as he's concerned, is good. But his action, listening to music, is outside and contrary to the spirit and letter of Sharia. Therefore the result will be that he'll get the wrath of Allah. One person say, no, I will rob the rich and give the money to the poor. My intention is very good. Intention is good. I want to rob the rich. I want to take the money and give it to the poor. This is very good action to help the poor. But his intention, say, he's saying is good. His action is outside the spirit of Sharia. So his result is bad. So respected elders, we get now three types of actions. One action, what we call ta'at, obedience. Everything which Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a Muslim, he obeys. Second one is qurbat, that action which will gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spending your life, spending your property, spending your sweat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engaging in nafil actions, making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your transactions, spending more than zakat, much more than zakat out. So those will give you taqarrub ila Allah. And one is ibadat. Ibadat, what we have to do. We performing salat 5 times daily, which is obligatory, we're not doing a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're fulfilling an obligation. Even our nawafil, we're not doing a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're doing it for our own benefit. Yes, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected elders, the action of moving, of migration, hijrat, first of all, hijrat will say means to move from one place to another place. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. And to add a little bit, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkatul Mukarrama, he was not in Madinatul Munawwara. And when he made hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara, he was not in Makkatul Mukarramah. Respected elders, so now the fuqaha ikram, the scholars of Islam, state that a person, he can make hijrah if certain things are jeopardized. Certain things are jeopardized, then he will be allowed to make hijrah. First of all, before I explain you about what can cause one to make hijrah, let us say that the countries of the world, or the localities of the world, or the governments of the world are now divided into Darul Harb, or Darul Islam, or Darul Kufr, or Darul Aman, or Darul Fasad. Previously, if you look at classical works, the classical scholars spoke about Darul Islam and Darul Harb. That's how they spoke about it. It was either Islam or against Islam. Now, because of expansion and international regulations and certain governments which allow freedom of religion and certain governments which allow limited freedom of religion, then there are new definitions. Darul Islam. Darul Islam will mean that Islamic government which is basically Islamic in nature and promoting Islamic law and legislating Islamic law, having a judicial system of Islamic law and implementing the hudud of Islam. Darul Harb will be that non-Muslim government which is willfully suppressing Islam and which is willfully going against the basics of Islam and which is willfully propagating and preaching against Islam and which is willfully saying that you cannot practice Islam. In those governments, they will say, no, you cannot walk around with hijab, you cannot give the azan aloud, and you cannot construct masjids, and they will put undue restrictions and limitations upon the Muslims staying there. And they will be harassing the Muslims continually there. And the Muslim will be virtually day in and day out trying to fight against the system. Darul Kufr, where it is a kafir government, and this kafir government will be legislating their own laws, but will be promoting their laws and implementing the kufr law upon everybody in that state. The Darul Aman, where there will be a government and the government will so-called allow freedom of religion. Freedom of religion as long as it suits them. For example, they'll allow, you can build masjids, you can build madrasas, you can build darul ulum, you can build the khanqahs, the women folk can go in hijab, and you can have your syllabus in your madaris, etc. And you can transact how you want to. You can give your azan aloud, you can have your Islamic occasions and festivals, those things they'll allow. Then you get Darul Fasad, where the government is in chaos. And the government in chaos, many countries are like this. Whether it is Muslim government or whether it is non-Muslim government, but the laws that they implement are so loose and immoral and immodest that it is unreal. Maybe our country comes under that category, that on one side they allow us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on one side they allow us to build the masajid and jamaat khadas and khadras, and they allow us to build our darul ulums and they allow us to promote Islam to an extent. On the other hand, every other immorality is permissible in this country. Homosexuality permissible, lesbianism permissible, abortion permissible. Everything, immorality is permissible. Because what has happened, that the rulers are confused. They do not know who to follow, who to keep happy. The Western world or the Eastern world, which block to keep happy. Respected elders, in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the law of Islam, has applied the hudud in certain cases. The hudud, the capital punishment or the punishment, let's say the punishment which has been stipulated. And for a Muslim to be living in peace and tranquility, for a Muslim to be living in a state of happiness and joy, and for a Muslim to be living comfortably and ease, is not that he must have a luxurious house, or a comfortable house, or a fat bank balance, or a luxury car, or he must be affluent, and he must be classified wealthy. Yeah, understand something. We have made a basic error by classifying the wealthy as noble. Whereas nobility got nothing to do with wealth. Nobility got something to do with character, taqwa, piety, righteousness. The person who is righteous and pious is a noble person. But because of our upbringing, the person we greet is a rich man. That is why when a poor man dies, very few come to his funeral. But when a rich man dies, everybody wants to come to his funeral. Respected elders, Islam wants that we must have protection of property. That is why that when in an Islamic country, amputation of that part, the hand, etc., which is involved in the act of stealing. And Islam wants that the property of the Muslim must be protected. The property of the non-Muslim must be protected. And for even one dirham, one person is allowed that if he's in salat, that if his shoe is being stolen, then he can leave the salat, terminate the salat and protect his shoe. Islam wants that the property of the man, the property of the individual, the property of the citizen, the property of the subject must be safe at all times. Now in some countries, the rogues are walking freely, the thieves are walking freely, the dacoits are walking freely, and those who have to protect their wealth, they have to put burglar guards and be in jails. In some countries, now you have to have burglar guard, you'll have to have alarm system, you have to have security system, you have to have closed circuit television, and the person who's a rogue, he's walking around freely outside. He's a thief, he's walking freely outside. And Sharia of Islam is saying that the Islamic government and the Islamic situation and setup is that there must be protection of the property. Number two, there must be protection of chastity, dignity and honor. There must be protection of chastity, dignity, honor and progeny. Not that the man, whatever he wants to do, he can do. In Islam, there is rules and regulation, discipline. Not that every field a person finds, he starts watering. In Islam, that is why the woman check the books of jurisprudence. That suicide in Islam is haram. Suicide in Islam is not permissible. Suicide in Islam is only permissible on one occasion. In the books of jurisprudence, only one occasion suicide is permissible. And that not for a man, for a lady. And what is the circumstances of that? That if someone enters the house and decides and has got evil intentions of the lady, that she is allowed to protect her chastity and dignity and honor and position and status, and she is allowed to go to the rooftop and drop herself from there to death, and she will be classified as a martyr in Islam for protecting her chastity. Today you took the woman folk and put her outside on the road. Today we have taken the woman folk and put her out in the dens of immorality. Today we have, in the so-called spirit of Islam, under the spirit of Islam and the spirit of education, taken the woman folk out of the house and put her in the shop and put her in the universities and put her in all the other places. And here Islam is saying that the protection of the chastity, the dignity and the progeny of the Muslim man and woman is of utmost importance. That is why there is stoning to death, and that is why there is lashings. There, for protection of property, what was it? There was amputation. Here there is stoning and lashing. Then there is protection of intellect. Protection of intellect. That لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. Don't go near salat when you are in the state of intoxicant. And this word karuba means don't go near it, don't go right near it, nowhere near it. So there is hudud. In a Muslim country, if a Muslim is found drunk, then he is lashed. Then there is punishment upon him. And here in our areas, we have what we have. They want to ban smoking, and the person is lying dead drunk around. No restrictions on alcohol, no restrictions on wine and all the intoxicants of that. But here you must stop smoking, etc. A lot of restrictions on that. And unfortunately, in so-called Muslim countries, wine is drunk more than water and alcohol is drunk more than water. And those countries brag that they are Muslim in nature, Islamic in nature. So we got protection of progeny, protection of property, protection of intellect. Then we got protection of deen. Protection of deen. That a person, he must be able to practice the deen of Islam peacefully, comfortably. His wife must go be able to practice the laws of hijab. He must be able to deal and transact properly. He must be able to deal Islamically. He must be able to construct masajid, the darulum, the jamaat khana, the khanka. He must be able to preach and practice and propagate Islam. In certain countries, even like so-called Tunisia, where it's supposed to be Muslim country, they are not even allowed to preach, practice Islam properly. Many countries you will find, Turkey, etc., that they are not allowed to read the Quran when they are at a certain age. Respected elders, so now we're getting some direction that a person can decide that must he move or must he not move. Because when a person is a Muslim, and he leaves Islam, then he is wajibul qatl. It is compulsory to kill that person. Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the Umar Asani, they say that in his entire life, he took two strong actions. One was against a person who spoke ill of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When that person spoke ill of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz told him, lash that person. Secondly, that when Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was on his horseback and he was informed that one person had left Islam, then he gave instructions that before I come down off this horse, behead this fellow, because he has left the fold of Islam. Understand something very clearly, that this verse here, La ikraha fid deen, there is no compulsion in deen. Every Muslim knows this. That when you tell him make salat, he say, La ikraha fid deen, no compulsion in deen. When you tell him send your wife into hijab, La ikraha fid deen. Keep beard, La ikraha fid deen. Give zakat, La ikraha fid deen. Everything, he got this ready answer. Respected elders, this ayah does not refer to the Muslims. It refers that when you are preaching Islam, propagating Islam to the non-Muslims, that there is no compulsion for them to enter into deen. What applies to us is what I have recited, that udkhulu fis silmi kaffa, that come into submission, come into Islam in totality. This applies to us Muslims, that once we have entered Islam, now we come into Islam in totality, not half foot in, half foot out, not part-time Muslim, that when we come in the masjid that we are Muslim, when we are outside that we are stealing and robbing, when we come in the inside the masjid that we are all pious, when we go outside we are unrighteous, when we come inside the Muslim environment that we are very peaceful, when we go outside that unfortunately so many Muslims are drug dealers and drug peddlers and container droppers amongst our own people, respected elders. So in an environment where we do not have protection of deen, and we do not have protection of intelligence, when we do not have protection of progeny, progeny meaning chastity, dignity, and we do not have protection of property, then respected elders, a person must seriously think of leaving that place, that when these protections are not in that area, when he's not, when his chastity is in trouble, when his dignity is in problem, when his honor is jeopardized, when his deen practicing is jeopardized, when he cannot move around freely, when he cannot transact properly, when he cannot practice the deen of Islam freely, then it is necessary for that person at that time that he should leave that area and go away to another area. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand when it is allowed to make hijrat, when it is not allowed to make hijrat. In this country at this moment, respected elders, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can practice the deen. No one stops that. We can tell our women for going to hijab, no one stops that. No one tells us, no, you have to deal in interest. No one stops us to go to the masjid. Yes, definitely we have got a problem that the chastity and dignity of the men and women is at stake. There are illegal, un-Islamic laws of abortion, homosexuality, and this country is becoming so-called globalized and liberalized, respected elders. There is a difficulty. There is security problem here where there is protection. Lack of protection of property. One more protection which I forgot to mention, let me mention it and conclude, is the protection of life. Life is important, and life has to be protected by the Islamic State. Then also we can define now an Islamic State. An Islamic State will be where there is protection of Iman, protection of life, protection of property, protection of progeny and chastity, and respected elders, protection of intelligence. When these five protections are given from the government side, that government needs to be respected. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand this. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
الحمد لله الذي لا يكشف الشدائد إلا هو ولا يدفع المكائد إلا هو فما مراد العاشقين في الدارين إلا هو وما مطلوب الواصلين في الكونين إلا هو العابد كلهم ضعفاء لا قوي إلا هو والناس كلهم فقراء لا غني إلا هو لا حافظ ولا ناصر إلا هو غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو هل من خالق غير الله يرزقكم من السماء والأرض لا إله إلا هو ومن يملك السمع والأبصار لا إله إلا هو ومن يعلم السر والجهر لا إله إلا هو موسى على الطور حين ناداه قال لا إله إلا هو يونس في بطن الحوت حين ناداه قال لا إله إلا هو إبراهيم بالنار الحريق حين ناداه قال لا إله إلا هو. يوسف في قعر البير حين ناداه قال لا إله إلا هو. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له هو الحي لا إله إلا هو. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اعلموا أن الدنيا دائرة ولذتها فانية وطاعتها باقية وحاصلها فوت وآخرها موت. إخواني بدن ضعيف وزاد قليل وبحر عميق والنار حريق والصراط دقيق والميزان عديل والقيامة قريب والحاكم رب جليل. ويقول آدم صفي الله عليه السلام نفسي نفسي. ويقول نوح نجيه الله عليه السلام نفسي نفسي. ويقول إبراهيم خليل الله عليه السلام نفسي نفسي. ويقول إسماعيل ذبيح الله عليه السلام نفسي نفسي. ويقول يوسف صدوق الله عليه السلام نفسي نفسي. ويقول داود خليفة الله عليه السلام نفسي نفسي. ويقول موسى كليم الله عليه السلام نفسي نفسي. ويقول عيسى روح الله عليه السلام نفسي نفسي. ويقول رسولنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب أمتي أمتي. ويقول الجبار جل جلاله وعمن واله عبادي عبادي ألا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. بارك الله بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. إنه تعالى جبار كريم ملك بر رؤوف رحيم. أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أرسل بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تقارب ذنبا رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم غرضا من بعدي. فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم. وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين بالإمام العادل ذي القوة القاهرة والسلطة الظاهرة على الكفر الباغية. وغفر اللهم لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيذكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.